Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this is the one and the only. This is the Pro Wrestling Interviews. First of all, we are graced to have the most wonderful wrestler in the world, Susan Green. Susan Green, thank you for being here. We have the amazing Velvet hosting, and I'm going to turn it over, buddy, to you, and we are so excited. This is going to be one of the best pro wrestling interviews in history. Are you ready, Amazing Velvet?
Yeah, let's do this. All right. Susie, glad you could make it. Thanks for coming. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Wrestled last night, so I'm taking it easy tonight.
I bet. Todd Saxon, all the way up in Indiana. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, just another night, sir. Happy to be here. Privilege and honor to attend. Thank you all.
Awesome, awesome. I see Sinister didn't show up, so probably he's having some cell phone problems like he did last week. So, without further ado, we are going to introduce our guest at this time. He is none other than the guy who helped Matt and Jeff. I love saying that. Thomas Simpson, how are you tonight, sir? And welcome.
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's great to be here with you. And we were talking right before we came on the air that the last time I saw you was there was a tag team match, and you and last time I saw you, Susan Green was beating the daylights out of you in Hanahan, South Carolina. That's been a while ago. And I think Susan was barefoot that night. And I mean, she was just, you were out of the ring and everything. I mean, we're going to, let's just not say that some of the South Carolina Athletic Commission regulations may have been violated a time or two that night, but it was amazing. It was an amazing thing to see with the Amazing Velvet. But it was you told me it has a life of its own now. That story.
It really does.
And that's the best stuff in wrestling does, right? I mean,
exactly. The darndest thing you'll ever see, and you go, it's been talked about for 20 years.
It's not. When did that happen? When did that happen? What year was that? It's not. I don't think it's 20 years ago, but it's getting close. I know.
It happened. It's coming close. I think that was in 2003 or 2004.
I think you're right.
Because that was just before Jeff Bradley left town to go back. He went back to Michigan. He lives in Indiana. He's from Indiana, but he had taken a job in Michigan. He left the state. Skippy went MIA, which was a Zebra Kid. He went MIA. And then I started that was probably the end of the era of Tony Charles and the Gambler as well. I think that was the end of it. I was running the show. I mean, I was putting on the show at that time. And then, that parlayed into me running the roads with Susan and Judy again. Like the second run. But, it's one of those things, like, you've done a lot. Like you told me, we can talk about Dion for a second. Dion, you told me is
Johnson.
You told me that he's the king of Union City. Yeah, of course.
Of Union, South Carolina. Yeah.
He is. He's like the king there. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just something that you just like, everybody knows. Oh, you don't want to go wrestling Union, South Carolina with that's the king.
That's true.
I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, my thing is this, is we've been around the block, all of us, everybody on it, been around the block. And I just don't understand how people just have so much hate in their heart. I don't get it, bro. I really don't. Hateful for just each other or something in the business or something I had done. It's just stupid. It's just stupid. Listen.
Oh, geez, don't get me started.
No. I've been talked about. Susan's been talked about. You name it. Everybody. Okay, great. But why? Shut your mouth. Don't worry about it. It's not you.
Oh, but
if you worried about
it. The thing is, if they're not talking about you, that if people weren't talking about me and I wasn't causing controversy, I would be hurt.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, I'm serious. I mean, if you're not making
yeah.
someone mad, you're not doing a good job.
Doing your job.
And I'm talking about someone that
yeah.
supposedly in the business. I first got started years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I used to take it to heart that so and so doesn't like me. So and so said something.
Right.
And, yeah, I've been in
right.
over 28 years now. I don't care. I don't care anymore. Because I have my friends and they love me and So I don't worry about what somebody who's
but it didn't
never
stop
done
you
anything.
From being a part of the business. It didn't stop you from being a
no.
part of the business. It didn't stop you from.
It made me. It made me.
Whatever you're doing.
It made me more. It made me more headstrong, if anything. It made me, I want to show these people. Yeah,
I'm the same way. I've had, anyway, we won't go there. But so there was now I don't know if you knew this either. I think prior to that match, I had gone with, there was a guy named Jimmy that used to referee for JoJo, which he and I started Old School Championship Wrestling. Let's get that right out the gate.
Okay.
I don't care. They can have it. It don't bother me. I was in the car
right.
when it happened. We came up with the name, but that, I'm not even going to squabble over that. That's fine. But
mm-hmm.
he had a referee, and we got a call to go to Mooresville, North Carolina. And I
mm-hmm.
said, a guy called me and goes, hey, man, we're running the fair. I go, yeah. He goes, where the Hardy Boys got discovered. I said, okay, what do you need? He goes, I need you and a referee. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was going to wrestle 3 days. I thought I was just going to wrestle and come home.
The Moore County Fair at the Carthage, North
yeah.
Carolina. Yes. No,
Carolina,
I
yeah.
used to run that.
3 days. I know you did.
Yeah.
Well, I know you did. I don't know if you were there this time because I wrestled the first show I wrestled, Easy Money, and he had a tag team partner. His tag team partner didn't show up, had a manager. Well, I gave him a Japanese arm drag. I kipped up, turned around to give him the second one. He's on the mat.
Uh-huh.
His shoulder came out of socket. So the match was basically over. We did the Guerrero ending. And then
mm-hmm.
the next day I wrestled God, what's the guy? Anyway, he and I had a love-hate relationship. Oh, God, what was his name? Anyway, he was a pretty good-sized dude, Scotty Matthews. And
I know who you're talking about, yeah.
He and I didn't have the greatest of relationships in or
uh-huh.
out of the ring, which is fine, But
uh-huh.
I wrestled him on there, and then he got mad at me on the third day because I put on my best outfit. He goes, how come you wrestle me in that? I said, I wasn't wasting that on you.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, but here's the thing. Everybody knew who I was, which was amazing. And
mm-hmm.
There was people talking about you. And I'm like, yeah, he's done this. And I heard some people. Go ahead.
The last year
I
worked there at the fair was 99. That was
so,
the last year that I'd done 99.
It was
yeah.
It was 01 or 02.
Oh, yeah, it was
before
after
the Susan
yeah.
beat up.
Yeah.
Right. So, but
yeah.
people were like, yeah, he used to run it, and I heard sour grapes and this and that. I'm like, well, if you got sour grapes, leave them over there. So anyway, but people knew who you were too, and they were like, you know, did he get you to come? I went, no. I got a phone call from Crash the Milkman. And he goes,
Crash, yes.
Crash.
I know you're talking
me.
About that.
Like,
yeah. Known him for years.
And all these people like, who's that guy? They didn't know who that guy was, but he lived right there.
Right. Wow.
But anyway, but so let's really get to the meat of this. The meat of this is you started a little group. If I'm not mistaken, it was called Omega, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Omega Wrestling. What
That's
was it?
Right.
All right. So how did that come about? Because I know not everybody that listens to us knows your story and how that came about and how the Hardy Boys were involved and of course, Helms, Gregory Helms, all that. So how did that come about?
Well, what happened at first was I was originally a partner in American Championship Wrestling with Mitch Gald and Chaz Rocco, his name was Chad Floyd, and the Ring Lords were a part of it and stuff. And then we were doing a lot of shows in South Carolina, North Carolina. We had TV out of Florence. I think it was on WPDE because Chaz's mom was an executive there at the TV station. And I just didn't like the wrestling we were doing, and I liked Matt and Jeff. And my business partners had a problem with them going and doing jobs for WWF at the time. And so I decided Matt had basically couldn't afford – he didn't have a good ring, and he really couldn't afford to run wrestling shows anymore. This was back in 1997. And so I was tired of the junk at ACW. So I said, well, I want to leave. He's like, well, why don't we become business partners? I got this idea for Omega. I've got these guys, you know, that like him and Jeff and Shannon Moore and Joey Abs, Champagne. and then so he said, well, why don't we all just go into business together? And we did. And then we added people like Joy Matthews or Joy Mercury, Christian York, Steve Corino.
Right.
And that was in, we had our first show July 25th of 1997. So next year will be 25 years, a 25th anniversary. And so
nice.
We did that for about a year, and then Matt and Jeff got signed to WWF, and we did a few little things after that, but not much. And then, but that's how, I tell people, Vince put me out of business first because everybody got signed. Matt and Jeff and Joey Abs went to WWF. Shane Helms and Shannon Moore and Joy Matthews and Christian York went to WCW and ECW and even the Dubs.
Mm.
Champagne and Otto Schwanz, they went to to ECW, and Mike Maverick is the Dubs. So I mean, as Caprice Coleman, he was there too. He works for Ring of Honor now, doing great. And Jamie Tucker, our referee, he went there. He went to WCW. So it was it's hard to believe that was basically a generation ago. But
We
did.
It's hard.
We were some of the first people to do videotapes, like videotapes circulated out there and stuff. And it was just kind of I wanted to do something. I like these guys. I like the style of wrestling they did. I mean, you would call them spot monkeys now. I mean, but if you look back at the
stuff.
Yeah,
but not back then. Not back then.
It's not. Well, it's not compared to what it is today.
Correct.
I mean, it was like if you saw, and I'm going to use Susan Green as an example. If you saw her, I know that people back in the 70s and 80s probably criticized Susan for doing too many high spots. Because, I mean, her drop kick was an amazing thing. Right, Susan?
And her head scissor takeover.
Yes. I mean, all the stuff she did that was Japanese influenced, I'm sure they criticized. But if you look back at it, it made sense in the context of the matches that she was wrestling. right? And so I look back at our stuff, and it was logical then. Now, people have just gotten to the point of just doing spots because they can do them, not why they should do them. I mean, even the king of the high spots, Jeff Hardy, has toned down out of necessity.
Well, he has to.
For years. And but then again, and Matt, too. But then again,
yeah.
Matt was on. I sent him the match with Christian on AEW.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, he did a superplex, and I'm like, "Bud,
yes, he did.
Are you crazy? Because I know, you know the issues he's had over the years and stuff.
His back is bad.
Hey, man,
yeah.
they gave us 16 minutes. He said I was going to do something big, right? He said I was going to do something big. So, sometimes it's like Jeff was. We were talking one day not too long ago, and it was after he had a match on Raw with John Morrison. He's like, "Man, I want to do a TLC with John Morrison." He said, "Cause he'll just do anything," and I'm like,
"Yeah, he will."
Boy, are you crazy? He's like, "No,
yeah,
man, that would be great. You know, it'd be great. Me and him could just have the best TLC match ever." I'm like, okay. I said, I think that'd be great. I'd love to see it personally, right? But
first thing I would ask Jeff is, how old are you again?
Well, I do sometimes mention that, but then again,
I know
you see the schedule they've been doing. They've been doing one show a week for the last year and a half. So he goes to TV,
but now,
right? He does Raw, but he's not even on the house shows right now. They haven't put
no,
it. He wants
you
to
know
be,
what?
But they
It'll
haven't
change.
Done the.
It'll
all
change.
He's doing is, so he's doing his
TV,
the concerts and the meet and greets. But like wrestling wise, he hasn't wrestled this little in years. I mean,
years.
Here, well, since
exactly.
We took time off and stuff, but like TNA time.
Yeah,
he's in TNA,
yeah.
So he's feeling great. And.
Okay.
But yeah, he feels great even at 44 maybe right now. His birthday's his birthday's like in a couple of weeks, so in like a month. So yeah, it's August 31st. So his birthday's in a little while. But again, he looks great. He feels great. So he's happy. He said, "I've never made this much money to do so little." So,
hey, I wouldn't complain.
He's thrilled. He loves it. It's like Matt and AEW, but it's perfect for him. So,
right.
They're both very happy.
Surprised that Matt didn't influence him into coming down there and not stay, which is.
You mean going to AEW?
I'm just surprised that. Oh, I'm sitting on my porch. My bad. Y'all run away. I'm surprised Matt didn't say, "Hey, why don't you come with me? Come check it out. This and that."
Well, here's part of the what happened. You know, Jeff had been injured.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff had been injured, and so they rolled over. Well, his contract when he was off the road, they stall it. They stop it. And then, so they added on to the end. So they added it on when he came back. So you've got to still work out this time. And then by Matt had left, and Jeff was like, and so they made him an offer that they gave him an extension that he basically, and this was at the COVID time, they gave him an extension that he wanted to stay and keep, right? And so, I mean, he was very, very happy with that. And plus, at the same time, he was, and I don't think this is a secret, he was going through, after going through, when he was off that injured time, he went through rehab and alcohol rehab, right? And and everything, and he's getting himself, you know, his life back together and everything, or he was healing himself, and he said, "You know, I want to he might said I may not ever sign another contract, but it just made good sense for with the schedule they've got and the schedule they're going to keep from here on out, you know, for his family. Plus, I mean, his music is his big thing. Is the music is what he's into, and I love it. I'm really impressed from where, like, when he started, I guess in 2003 or so, he was starting to do his music and things,
right.
And then to where he's progressed to today with his music.
That's awesome.
It's totally different, and it's great. And then, like, in Atlanta, I sent him a text I'd seen something that he was going to be. Yeah, it was yesterday. He had done a meet and greet and concert in Austin, Texas. So I sent him a text. I said, "Well, how'd it go?" He said, "Man, it was great." He said, "I've got another one tonight. Tonight. After the pay per view tonight. There, I guess
wow.
in Fort Worth, maybe." So he said, "I've got one," but I went to the one I'd never seen him in concert or anything. Right?
Right.
I hadn't seen him, and so I said, "Well, I'm going to go down to Atlanta because it's only like a 2-hour drive for me." So,
right.
So it's at this bar in this. Well, it's at a bar in a section of Atlanta where I used to hang out at. Right, when I was
okay,
spend summers in Atlanta, living with my aunt and stuff when I was in college, and then I'd spend a lot of time
okay.
there afterwards. And so, the. It was supposed to be a meet and greet from like 5 to 7, and then it was going to be he would sing from 7:30 to 8:45. Right.
Right.
He did not. They didn't end the meet and greet until 10 o'clock.
Holy
because
cow.
Because
Too
they had
people.
That many people
yeah.
there. People were lined up down the street.
No, I bet.
And it was amazing, and I was just gobsmacked because this was on Thursday afternoon
right.
in Atlanta, and so there were all these people there, and so it was great. And then I think I finally saw him about 9:30. I slipped back to where he was, and I sent him a text. How am I supposed? Hey, I'm here, but what am I supposed to do? So. He waved
right.
at me, and then I got to sit right beside him, basically, while he was singing and stuff. And it was just really nice.
Well,
his concerts
cool.
are – I know he's going to have one on August 14th in Charlotte, August 15th in Columbia.
Cool.
And
oh,
he's
really?
Supposed to be somewhere in Charleston.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
they're doing
when,
North Charleston,
yeah. Yes,
yeah.
he is
it's
at
in,
a brew.
It's in North Charleston.
There's some brewery
is
there that's not Holy City. Yes, that's it.
Is he at Firefly? It's right across the street.
I think he's going to be there. Yeah, whenever
yeah.
that house show is, he's
yes.
going to be there singing. Now, whether he's on the house show or not, because like I was expecting in Columbia and Charlotte, okay, I'm going to go to the house show, then I'm going to go over to his concert, right? But he's not even on the house shows at this point, which is,
so he might
I mean.
Starting at the same time, dude. He might sing the same.
No,
it's
always after. No. They're after the show. It's
really?
After the show. Yeah, because that's why he can do that kind of stuff. It's got to be either
it's
before
like
the show
could do their
or
things,
it's got to
right.
be after the show. Right. Yeah.
So it's like
so,
Xavier. It's like Xavier Woods with his up, up, down, down and all that other stuff. I got you.
Right. Yeah, so he's got to
yes.
do it before or after. He's got to do it when the show's not going on.
One or the other.
So
right.
I'm kind of disappointed. I probably won't go to the shows, but then again, because you get to go, and I just say, like, I don't know what it's going to be. In Atlanta, it was like $25. So you can come
yeah.
in, you can
not
get your picture made, you can get three things signed.
Right.
You get three things signed, and then he's got a pack when you go in there if you want to buy it. It's like $35. You get an 8x10, and you get a shirt and a bunch of other stuff, and he'll sign it and everything. So, I mean, he spent time with
bad.
Every person that came to that thing, and it was – and then he does his music, and then there was a song, I can't remember the name of it, but I remember his dad, we used to be over at his house – years ago, and his dad would play this one of the songs that Jeff played. I said, "Didn't your dad used to say?" He's like, "Yeah, this is where I learned it from." I said, "Yeah, I remember us him singing it and playing for us out in his just sitting on the carport." So I mean, it was
that's
and so it, it's really neat. And he sings his like the obsolete song and stuff, and he's got
yes.
a fantastic fantastic guitarist with him. That works.
Oh, nice.
Just everybody connected with them are just really good people, and I'm really impressed with what he's done. So I'm looking forward. I'm going to the concerts when he's around here. So
I'm
looking forward to that. Yeah,
I got somebody who's got a couple of questions. This guy
sure.
knows more
yeah.
about Japanese wrestling than any of us. Professor
okay.
Steve, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, I had a few questions for Mr. Simpson. I've met some of the Omega talent, like Christian York, Matt Hardy, Jeff, Hurricane. I wanted to get can you update me on Christian York? Is he still working? Because I saw him years ago, and I thought he was really had a lot of potential, but I'm surprised he never got anywhere bigger than Impact.
Well, you know, I haven't. When the whole pandemic started, he actually has a really so – he's got two kids now, and his son is in high school, and he's a high school wrestler, and he does a lot of wrestling, like the amateur wrestling stuff, with like the Virginia State team and everything. He also has a serious – bathroom business where he remodels people's bathrooms and does decks and hot tubs and all these kind of things. So the last I heard from him, he was on Facebook and then he just kind of disappeared from it. The last I heard from him, he was, and this was during the pandemic. So I haven't seen where he's wrestled again since the pandemic started, and he really hadn't done much. He did a couple of shows, like indie shows. He lives up in Culpeper, Virginia. So he'd do some stuff in Virginia. And
yeah, I'm a Virginia boy, so I had to ask.
Yeah, Maryland stuff, but I haven't seen anything lately, and I don't know if Virginia and stuff has really started back up like indie-wise as they have down here. But last I don't know of any
yeah,
reason
we're just,
he wouldn't.
We're just getting shows again this month.
Yeah, he wouldn't start wrestling again sometime. I'm planning on doing a trying to get together an Omega reunion thing next year. No wrestling, just people
right.
sitting and talking and stuff. And so I definitely hope to have him and Joey Mercury both.
That'd be
and
awesome.
I talked to Joey. Here lately, it's after a long time not being in touch, we've gotten back in touch with each other and talk a fair bit. So, but I mean, it's something I want that we really wanted to, that I want us to do for the 25th anniversary. So.
That'd
be
awesome.
When Omega was running shows more often, was there a pursuit for a TV deal, maybe locally or nationally?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because when I had been with ACW, one of the reasons I left was because we were pouring $500 an hour into television, and the crowds weren't getting any better. I knew that at that time, broadcast TV, just like now, broadcast TV is there's just nothing to it. I mean, and even. I wouldn't even personally spend a lot of money on if I were running an indie show, spending a lot of money for high quality production when I can just film the thing and put it on YouTube, right? I mean, it's
really.
Yeah, because even videotapes now, DVDs don't sell. It's all streaming. The most that you can get anybody to buy a DVD for is the guys on the wrestling show, on the show itself, right? But I mean, it's so no. We never thought. And we did do some video. We had it professionally videotaped some of the shows and everything, but I mean, it's very rudimentary graphics and things like that compared to now. It was certainly nothing like anything that WWF had or WCW had. But no, I never. All I wanted to do was my philosophy has always been, I don't care about this other extra stuff. I want butts in seats. I want a butt every 18
exactly.
inches. And this is what I put the money into is getting the word out there and promoting. And it's
correct.
You know, things like social media promoting and all these other little things are just gravy because I have seen even in this day that a nice looking poster is out in the business is better than anything else. So now we never thought I never thought about TV. Nah, that was, we sold some videotapes. Hey, that was good enough.
Well, speaking of TV, I wanted to get another question before I give it back to Velvet. But what do you think about Matt Hardy's work in AEW? I know he had a hell of a run of Impact, but what do you think about him in AEW?
I love Big Money Matt is my favorite character. Of all of his, it's more like V1. I love V1. I get Broken Matt Hardy. Broken Matt Hardy was not. Vince didn't understand
broken
what he
Matt
was
Hardy
getting.
Thing. No.
Broken
no, he did
Broken
not.
Matt Hardy. I get it. I understand it. If there had been crowds when Broken Matt Hardy came in and he started off with Jericho and he had done a whole thing with Jericho. But you've got to have people there for the whole broken
yep.
gimmick to work. But to me, Big Money Matt that he did at Ring of Honor, that is the most. Although Big Money Matt, Big Money Matt's a tightwad, just like Big Money Thomas. Big Money Matt's in reality a tightwad. But and we'll squeeze a penny till it yells. But I love the Big Money Matt. Having all these people and stuff. I mean it's kind of the Private Party. Okay, that's good. It starts to add on these other people. So I just want to hear Matt do a promo. I want to see Matt wrestle a match like with Christian, right? I loved that. That was a good match. Yeah, the match was great. And so I want to – that's the kind of stuff. But I think with the Big Money Matt, I think in the long run, and if they keep on doing things, they do stuff with him and Jungle Boy, I think that could be really well done. But, I mean, eventually I think he'll do – they'll end up doing the broken thing again because, I mean, what's going to happen when the Big Money Matt, eventually he's going to have to get his comeuppance,
yeah.
right? I mean, he's got to get his comeuppance,
right.
And he's going to hit rock bottom, and so he's going to have to be broken. It's like what happened in at Impact, right? I mean, it's the same the same character.
They're going the same
now,
direction,
what,
right, exactly.
Right, and so what causes that? Who knows? But I know he's having fun with it, and I'm having a ball watching it, right?
We all are.
And I'll send him a text. Like after every show, I'll send him a text. It's like, hey, this was good. And then sometimes I'll criticize, like, hey, you gave this guy too much, or you did this, or, you know. to me, Big Money Matt is the greatest. And the Hardy Family Office thing, I mean, it's – and – to me, the Hardy Family Office thing is, they said you know a lot about Japanese wrestling, right? Like the Kensuke Office.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I kind of think about. It's like it's the Kensuke Office, but it's like it's like going insane. I love what Matt's done is doing with the thing.
I don't know. He's awesome.
AEW. I have a comment and a question. I went to WrestleMania 33 and saw the Hardy Boys surprise return. That was a highlight for me because I was so pissed that Undertaker and Bray Wyatt were losing that night. So the Hardy Boys return, that was like, you know, that made it up for me because I was a big fan of them and growing up. So that was so cool. I wanted to ask, why do you think WWE hasn't used Willow like Impact has? Because I think a Willow-themed match would be pretty interesting.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because at the Jeff concert, they were talking. He said, you know, he said during his concerts, he always tries to do the Willow laugh and stuff and, like, talk some as Willow. And he said he would love, and people were asking about Willow, he said he would love to do Willow and the Fiend. And they did Woken Matt and Bray. They did some stuff together that they didn't do nearly what they could have, right? I mean they did, and it was fun. It was great. And Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda, he is a fantastic guy, just a great person. But, yeah, Jeff wants to do that. I would love to see it. It's interesting you talk about being at WrestleMania 33. People ask me, where were you for WrestleMania 33? Did you know they were coming back? I did. I was actually at home in bed because I had to work the next morning. And people were blowing up my phone. It's like, yeah, I know. Thank you. I'll watch it tomorrow. Thank you. But it was an amazing. It gives you goosebumps to see that.
Yeah.
And I kind of like kicked myself. It's like, you know, you should have gone and done it anyway. But Bray and the Fiend versus Willow is something Jeff Hardy would love to do before his time is up in 2 years.
That'd be awesome.
So yeah.
That would be awesome. It would really be good for them. And I think it would help him make a decision if he's even going to sign another contract with anybody at that point, or, you know, or
man,
whatever.
Man, I don't – let me say this.
You never say
that.
Never. Go ahead.
I'm not going to say never, but Ruby is almost 11, and Mira is about 6 now. Five
mm-hmm.
or six, and so he wants to be. It's just like a case on Facebook. I talk with AJ Styles wife a lot, and he's on his last contract. he's on his last contract, okay? Because she said something. I said something yesterday about she had made him get up and go to the gym, and he didn't like going to the gym early. And I said, I can't blame him because the older you get, the harder it is, and with all the bumps he's had on his bump card, the harder it gets to get up.
Oh,
and she said, I just cannot wait till retirement. She said he cannot wait till retirement. So it's and he's on his last contract.
And you know what?
But, again, they've got kids that are going
to
be in school.
Well, that's true, and the biggest thing with that is if you are financially able to get out of the business, now play the long ball with your children and be happy and be able to do something else other or create a business or already have great investments or whatever the case may be that you can take. I have no problem with any of that. If that's what they're going to do, you know, and not hang on and be beat up.
Yeah.
If they want to walk away and be able to walk, you know.
Yeah. Well, right now, brother says he does wrestling so he can do his music, right? This is
to pay
for his music and stuff. But again, after seeing him, how well he did this past, when I was in Atlanta and stuff, and how well he's doing right now, I said, I don't think you have to worry about, you know, not making money off of that and everything. And I did ask AJ's wife, I said, I hope he's going to be at least available for some meet and greet. because that's where I figured the money is with wrestling. The real money is in meet and greets. It's not in running
the
indie shows.
The Comic Cons, the meet right. It's a Comic Con.
Yeah. That's
greet,
where the money is.
Things.
It's not. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Why bump when you can just get signed autographs? Right. I mean, it's
exactly.
It's kind of crazy.
And sell,
yeah.
And sell T-shirts for $25.
Yeah. Bump exactly. Something somewhere.
So do you have any other questions? What's your name, yet, sir?
That's Steve.
Oh, it's Steve.
Steve.
I'm from the Richmond, Virginia area.
Richmond, Virginia. Okay. Do you know Tim Noel up that way?
I have not, but I'll look him up.
Yeah, he used to come
to
wrestling. Well, yeah, Tim Noel, he N-O-E-L, he used to come to the Omega shows. As a matter of fact, we're looking at working on he used to film the shows himself. And so we're looking at trying to do a Blu-ray project this coming year. So he sent me an email that I have not responded to, but other than say I'll look at it. That's awesome. My good friend Mickey James lives up there.
Oh, my. I met her, loved her, saw her sing with, did a show with Jake Roberts and Nick Aldis put together. It was a pretty great show. I'm glad I went and saw her and Jake Roberts together. And then, one last question. Is Omega on a streaming service right now, other than High Spots?
No. The only thing that streams is that documentary. There's no Omega. We have the shows converted to HD. Yeah, the library is converted, but we have not pulled the trigger on putting them on anything, any kind of streaming service, anything. Wait till next year. I want to get everything done the way I want it to be done, and we're looking at like a year. So Omega's birthday is a year from today. The 25th anniversary is a year from the 25th, next Sunday. I want to be able to if you watch the video from the library that it has. Commentary from the guys who wrestled the matches, right? That's what I want. I want to be able to have Matt, Jeff, man, just sit down and talk about it themselves.
Right.
About when they, Willow wrestled Surge, right? I want that kind of thing. I don't want to just put it out there with nothing.
No
special.
Content, no direct, right.
No content, I want like the director's cut content and discussing the things and everybody involved discussing these things that we did. And until I get that, I'm not going to put anything out there other than the Uncommon Passion documentary. And we're looking. I'm looking at doing with some friends. It's like years ago, nobody was in the video business. Now everybody's in the video and business.
Yeah, right.
I would like to do another documentary, looking at the influence of Omega on wrestling over the past 25 years. Because the other one's kind of more like a who's who, and I think there's some people might be interested in where are they now kind of thing. But I also think the influence on other people in the business and the wrestling style and things. And I'm probably gonna ask for help from AEW on that.
I don't blame you
because I mean everybody there. Pretty much from the Bucks, Omega, and so many of the guys there, Tony Khan, have been influenced by it, right? And so
yep.
And that's the kind of thing that that I would like to see us do. So I mean, next year's going to be really, really busy, Omega-wise. And I think
that's a good thing.
I think it's going to be a great thing for the fans, because I'm not going to try to, yeah.
Oh, and the boys too now. Don't forget about us.
I think the boys will be. I don't want fans to feel like I'm jipping them or trying to take all their money. I mean, I've never been like that. I don't want to sell stuff for. I mean, it's just like going to Jeff's thing and seeing for what you get for like $25 and $35. Like, my God, WWE sell one of these things for $35. No, I don't want to. I've always been about the fans. I've never been about, you know, I work a job and I make good money. So, I mean, the wrestling's just for the fun. All the boys have done well. So, yeah, I mean, there's – Yeah, we can afford to be
but without those people, none of them would be where they are. None of them would have.
No, absolutely, absolutely not.
Butts in the seats, shaking hands, kissing babies, and taking pictures and whatever you got to do.
Absolutely,
it's about that. And I think a lot of them, not the boys per se. I think some of the like WWE is. Lost some of that oomph from that, because a lot of them
unless
they send them out to do that sort of thing, to do meet and greets, none of them will stop and talk to you, none of them will pay you any attention.
Well,
they just keep on rolling.
No, I will say this now, that's not fair.
Okay.
It depends on the person. And a lot of the people that came up the hard way in the indies.
Oh yeah. Oh, no, no.
And things like that. They remember, okay?
Oh, yeah.
They remember. And then, but then sometimes the guys that didn't, I mean, yeah, there have been those attitudes and people that have not had it hard. But most of the people, I mean, I can't say anything bad about anyone at WWE. Because every time I've ever been there, I have been treated like royalty. And from the executives I know down to, I mean, just everyone, the boys, of course. I mean, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because
most
of them came up watching my wrestling, right? And so, and
that's
the first
right.
stories.
Right.
I mean, those
exactly.
crazy Thomas Simpson stories. But again, I don't know how nice I would be at 6 o'clock in the morning coming to get my bags off of a red eye flight across the country. I mean, but you have to at least smile. But again, there's bad things. I know some, you know, they're not anywhere near as bad as a lot of movie and TV people.
Oh,
and music people.
You're right.
Yeah, they're not.
You're right.
They're
you're
not.
Right.
The wrestlers aren't
right.
nowhere near as rude.
But you know,
I know a lot
changing.
Of great people in those too. So, but again, anybody that came up through the ranks, came up through the indies, they're not gonna unless they were a jackass to begin with. They're not gonna treat the fans because there are some of those. Oh yeah, I could name them, but I'm not going to.
No,
I don't
want to
bother anyone back there tonight.
Can I interject again?
Sure, why not?
Yeah. Did Omega ever look at bringing in Jason Kincaid from West Virginia? Because I think he would fit Omega very much.
Jason Kincaid was in middle school when we started Omega.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Hey, Thomas, I got a question Thomas.
I know Jason. Let me say this. I know Jason Kincaid. And I have known him basically since he started, right? I think he is he has changed his look up, thank God. And he looks better now. His look, to me now, his look matches his work. Because his work he is incredible, right? I mean, his wrestling is really, really outstanding. But yeah, he looks like a real professional wrestler. Before, not so much. But yeah, I think his talent is excellent. Now he's kind of got the whole package in. And why he's not on TV now, I have no idea.
Right, I saw him Ring of Honor years ago, but he barely gets TV. So I'm glad, you know, when I get to see him at like a local show, like in Richmond, so years ago. So
he's excellent. He's better now than he was then by far. And like I said, his look is better too. I mean, he looks more. Hey, that was always my big knock on Jason. It wasn't your work, kid. It was your look, right? But now he really looks excellent. And work, I've never always thought his work was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, Velvet and I have a mutual friend with Stro, and Stro worked with Jason years ago in Mountain State. So I'm glad I can.
Then we all have a mutual friend, Stro.
Yeah.
And that's true, exactly. Well, you don't.
Everybody knows the Stro, right?
Exactly.
I forget how big of a name he is.
I knew him when he wrestled as Robbie Eagle.
Robbie Eagle.
That's how far Stro and I go back to when I owned ACW. That's how far I go back with Stro.
I want to know if anybody can answer this. I'm sure Thomas can. Whatever happened to Brian Kendrick?
He still works for WWE.
Now.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. He's producing. Okay.
He's a producer.
I tell you a funny story. I went to a Vikings game against the Panthers like early on. Like I'd probably say. Probably between 2000, 2005 or 6, something like that. We're in Charlotte, and we were in this fancy restaurant, and this dude walks by me. And I went, that's Brian Kendrick. And a buddy of mine said, no, he's too short. I said, that's Brian Kendrick. I'm telling you. And my wife had no clue. So, yeah, he walks by us again and said, hey, Brian, like that. And, you know, I know it's not his real name, but it might be. And I said,
yeah, it is.
I said, oh, yeah, that's right. And I went and said, that's Brian Kendrick. My buddy said, that's not Brian Kendrick. He turned around, looked at us, winked, and left. I said, Toya was.
I got lots of good stories about Brian Kendrick, but I can't tell him on the radio.
We'll save that for later.
I can't tell those stories on the radio.
Right.
I love him. He's a great guy, but he's an incredible talent. But his first name was Spanky in wrestling. That's what he was first wrestled as.
Exactly.
Was Spanky. Exactly. And so that's all I've ever called him is Spanky.
Oh.
That's Spanky. We've had a lot of fun together. We've had a lot of fun partying together. He was one of the party crew at WWE. He was in the party crew back in the day, and that's all I'm gonna say about it. He was in the party crew.
He
looks like a real pirate.
But if you can hang with a Guerrero, I ain't proud of it, but if you can hang with a Guerrero, it's like, okay.
You're right.
You got coronated.
Yeah.
They weren't
easy to hang up with.
No, listen, Hector used to come. Hector been to my house several times and stayed with us. And these stories aren't made for radio either.
Yeah.
You and I will talk later. How's that?
It sounds good. Sounds good.
But
Dr. John, and we're about 4 minutes away from being done for the listeners of WLSC,
I know, we
AM and FM, Myrtle Beach, and Loris, and we're so glad. We've had a great time. So
I want to let me ask Thomas, do you have anything you want to promote, put out there? You got anything happening, going on? What you got, Thomas?
Well, weirdly that you mentioned that, because today I put up on my Facebook Thomas Simpson Wrestling, and I'm T. Simpson at T. Simpson Wrestle on both Instagram and Twitter. I am on Facebook, as Thomas says, but Thomas Simpson Wrestling, we're going to do wrestling stuff. I'm going to run some shows next year, of course, do the Omega thing next year, go do some meet and greets, and mostly around my hometown of Abbeville, South Carolina. But the only things I got to promote is, like, Jeff Hardy will be in – you'll have to go online and look, but Charlotte, August 14th, Columbia, the new Brooklyn Tavern on August 15th, and then, like, somewhere in Charleston, you said Firefly.
North Charleston, it's a Coliseum.
Well, let's say it's a
brewery.
He'll
be at the Firefly, right. Yeah, the Firefly Distillery,
and that's it, Distillery, on, September, maybe? Is that when it is?
Yes, it's in September.
I don't know
the actual date, but it is.
I don't either. I know I'm going to come down to Charleston, and I'll probably come and catch
that.
Let me know.
Let me know.
Yeah, well, we'll get together. How about that?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, we got a few seconds here. Susie? I know you didn't get to ask any questions, but you know what? There will be a part two with Thomas.
Love you, Susan.
You got anything to say? Is she still there? Uh-oh. Maybe she fell off. Oh.
She probably got tired of listening to me.
No, I don't know. No, if she took her meds, she passed out. Todd, you still on the line, buddy?
I am. I almost passed out, but that was without meds. No, all good. Everybody, stay safe, take care of one another. What a great show to listen to. It's been a lot of fun to be here. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Stellar Steven, you got anything? he just gave it away.
You can reach me at Stellar Steven online, social media. Thanks for having me on. Enjoyed talking to Mr. Thomas.
Absolutely.
Please get up with me online. I'd love to talk with you more. So.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome.
Sounds great.
Man, Dr. John, we got to have a part two with Thomas Simpson at some point. So I know he's a busy man.
Absolutely.
He's got some things coming up.
Seriously.
So,
we will do that.
I'm
going to
be gathering
this weekend. We've got great things coming up.
Yep. We have other guests. I know you're going to be at the gathering, which is next weekend. But, you know, anytime after that, you know, you're welcome.
Let me know.
Do part two. Okay?
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, y'all.
All right,
have a great one.
Dr. John, take us home.
Appreciate it.
All right. Dr. John, take us home.
Yes, sir. We're so glad to have everyone here, and we'll see you next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the one and only Pro Wrestling Interviews. Thanks a lot.
Everybody have a good evening.